Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And let these words be yours and bless. Amen. Trajectory. From the Latin word trajectoria, which means throw across. It's defined as the path an object will take through space or the course of life a person chooses. When I was in the military, we were taking a pre-ranger course. And one of the facets was orientation exercise, where we would pair up two people that we had to chart our way through an unpassable wilderness for about 10 miles. And both of us, the person I was time connected with, we both shot a bearing so we could coordinate where we were. And we both, even though we didn't tell each other, cheated a bit. That there was a big, easy landmark, and it was only a degree or two off. And if we shot our bearing for that, that would be cool. And we both did it. And so 10 miles later, we found out we missed our objective by over a half a mile. Just that little bit. Trajectory. My senior year in college, I was up for a university scholarship called the Danforth Scholarship Foundation, which would pay for everything, no matter what graduate school I chose. Tuition, room and board, books, everything. And all it was a rubber stamp meeting and an interview. And I made a spur of the moment rash decision. When they asked me a question, what was the best book you read this year? And the book that I read that I liked the best was Shogun, but that was a novel. And I couldn't say that to this board of intellectuals, so I said the book that my faculty advisor in history said would change my life. And I boldly said the best book I've read this year was Through the Finland Station, which I'd only read a part of, and it was the story of the origins of communism. I didn't get that scholarship. I had to do a whole new course on life. A number of years ago, my daughter was studying at UW, and for Thanksgiving vacation, I was going to go drive all the way up there, pick her up, and take her back, and I just felt, let's not. I don't want to go all the way up there and back. It's a busy time of year. So I told her, take the train. It'll be an adventure. And she did, and met this guy. And the downward spiral that happened in her life from that moment, she's only now, 11 years later, getting out from under. Trajectory. The start of that path. How important is it to get off on the right foot? It's vital. But the thing is, we sometimes don't know we're on the wrong trajectory until we're well on our way to being lost. If you've been paying attention to the gospel lessons these past weeks, it's hard not to feel a little bit intimidated with what Jesus tells his disciples as he sends them out into the world. He goes, you will be sheep among wolves. You will be dragged in front of magistrates. You will be flogged in the synagogues. Do that? Your families will be torn apart. Your children will hate you. They'll go after each other. You will be hated by everyone because of my name. And in this last section, he says, you think I came to bring peace? I brought a sword. And you got to hate your own family more than you. If you don't love me more than your own family, you're doomed. And I have this picture in my mind of his disciples soaking all this up. And then he says, go. And they don't move. They're too scared to take that first step. They don't know where to go. And then Jesus takes a deep breath, and after painting such a bleak and fearful picture of the road ahead, all the horrible things that are going to happen to them if they're faithful in following him, he starts them off on the wrong foot, right foot, talking about welcoming, about encouragement and assurance. Sure, out there, not everyone is going to welcome you with open arms. And many may indeed despise you. But anyone who does receive you, receives. receives him as they receive God. It applies to prophets, to those who speak for God. It applies to the righteous ones, those who demonstrate their loyalty to the gospel by martyring themselves. It applies even to little ones, tiny, insignificant new people to the faith. That is how we are received by God. And that is how we are to receive others. And he says, even a cup of cold water can make all the difference in the world. At least in the sense of your trajectory. I want to focus on that image of a cold cup of water. It's such a little thing that Jesus says is a big reward. Now, maybe in the ancient world, that cold part was the hardest. They didn't have refrigeration, and I don't think ice was at hand somewhere in Palestine. But when you think about just that cup of water, so little in expense and effort that we barely even give it a second thought. But if you're the one who's thirsty, if you're the one finding yourself little and needy, you're going to remember. And so will Christ. And so will his Father in heaven who sent him. And that's the point. That what we do in his name matters. And what we don't do in his name matters. John writes, and no one has seen God, but if we love one another, he is seen in us. And if we don't, you know, lately I know it's getting relative. It's relative because I'm getting older and I start wondering the course of my life. But when I sit back sometimes and take a good look at my past, my career and everything, I always get a little disappointed by how little I ever accomplished. I wanted to do big things for God. I really wanted to make a difference somehow. When I was in like fifth grade, our church had this visitor from the Eastern Bloc, Soviet Union or whatever. His name was Richard Warmbrand, and he was part of this organization called Bring Jesus Christ to the Communist World. And I saw this man standing there who was all beaten and shackled. He'd been in prison. He'd taken all that the Soviet Union could dish out on him. He had the scars and the broken bones to prove it. And this inner strength that said he would keep on fighting, even though it didn't look like he had a chance on winning. And I thought, I want to be like that. I want to be a Christian hero, fighting the good fight. But I never did. And I became a pastor. Sure, that's in a sense, that's not a really big deal when you think about it. You have all this training, and if you are a pastor that actually shows up, you're halfway decent, or go through your motions and actually be nice to people, your people will be relatively happy and they think they're okay with that. But truth be told, I've never had to lay my life down on the line for the gospel. I've never been threatened. I haven't endured persecution. Nor have I built a mega church or have these great healing or conversion stories that others seem to have. Haven't even been flogged in any synagogue I've visited, though I have had the occasional family feud. But blah, blah, blah. And yet, even though I haven't reached the idealistic goals of my youth, I can still say, even in my advanced age, that maybe it's not too late to go off in the right direction. Ironically, Jesus' words, the harsh ones as well, but this conclusion, give me comfort. After all that tough talk, he says, just welcoming others is so important as a start. I know I can do that cup of cold water thing. Maybe I already have. Maybe you have too. There's an old monk saying that the longest journey begins with a single step. And Jesus seems to be saying that something as ridiculously simple as giving somebody a cup of water is a great way to start. I came across this commercial, and I want to show that right now. It's a Thai commercial, and it's kind of long. They have long commercials in Thailand, but I want to want you to.
Thai prakan chumit chue ni kwang ti.
I like it, even though there's a whole bunch of things that don't make sense. I like the thrust in something so minor, so significant. Starts a trajectory that may seem like it's going all over the place, but is in one solid direction. Now, unlike that guy, most of us, whatever we do with this sort of thrust, we'll never see the results. Although it is more likely we'll see results than one of those kind of things we do. But maybe it's not what we do that matters, but the trajectory we're on. Maybe instead of great deeds, it's those relatively insignificant but tender acts that give the greatest glory to God. Maybe it's just getting started. To me, that's the lesson of a cold cup of water. There's a story a few years ago about a Canadian named Kyle MacDonald, who was an internet sensation because he traded a red paperclip for a house. Well, actually, he traded the red paperclip for a fish pen, traded the fish pen for a snow globe, traded the snow globe for a wicker chair, traded the wicker chair for a generator, and on and on and on until he got a house. Now, granted, this house was in Kipling, Saskatchewan, and I've been there. That's not a good place to have a house. But maybe he's kept trading even further. But it's the process, the journey, the trajectory that makes that a really wonderful story. And it's more, much more than what it did to him. Much more than what he did, but what it did to him. So do you have a cup of water or a red paper clip to share, to trade? Can you part some tiny thing that might have immeasurable benefits to others? What's a cup of cold water that you can give to someone thirsty? An hour of your time, a couple of bucks, willingness to leave your comfort zone, saying I'm sorry, letting go of a grievance, daring to be vulnerable enough to share your faith in Jesus. What could you possibly do? And when you think about it, it seems so small, so insignificant, so ordinary that it hardly seems worth doing. Whatever it is, do it. What do you got to lose? It just might change the world for another person. Or if nothing else, gets you started in the right direction. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the life of God.